Then you can't see me so much. Yay.
Actually, the presence of God is in this place right now. Just hearing the words of that song and knowing what Jesus did for us is amazing. And what he keeps doing for us every day. He's just so awesome. And he's awesome in this place. Just wanted to start out just saying Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And as Pastor Vaughn has been saying the last few weeks, it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a great year. We just need to start proclaiming the fact that it's going to be a great year. There's going to be times of trials and tribulations and things that we go through. But you know what? When we have Jesus Christ with us, and he's with us every step of the way, it can't help but be a great year, because knowing the love of the Father, how he sustains us, he keeps us going, he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. So I'm getting ready for a good year, and I want you all to join me in this. Amen? Amen. You know, I know some people think that New Year's Day is kind of like just a laid-back day, maybe watch a football game. For me, in the past, it's been traditional, take down the Christmas things and just get on with life. But I kind of felt this year that God has us in the starting gate. And we're like those horses that you see at the track, and they're all getting ready, and the gate is holding them back right now, and we're just getting there. We're getting our hoofs ready, and you know, it's just about the fact that God is about to lift that gate, and we're going to go for the race of our lives. And, you know, it's going to be a race for our lives, but it's going to be a great race. It's going to be a race to the goal that God has given us. In our message cards, I brought mine up, and I must have dropped along the way, but it doesn't matter because I wrote down what it said. The message card that you get out for each month, and this time it says, but sometimes it's talking about our fast-paced life. And it says, life, where are you going? Our fast-paced society is a technological lane filled with endless communication options and multitasking distractions. Are we really in the fast lane, or are we avoiding the connection we have with each other and the vital connection we need with God? Where is our focus? Are we strong enough to complete the task? You know, we have so many distractions in our lives, so many things going on. And even for this, me to get ready for this message, it's been distraction after distraction. And even last night, I was going to bed early, and we have two cats who got along for years and now are fighting. If anybody knows how to stop that, I think they need deliverance, so if you want to come to my house. Anyways, Rich and I were cleaning poop at 1 a.m. last night, you know, from the cats after their fight. And you know, like, I just went to bed thinking, you know what, Lord, greater are you is in me than he is in the world. And no amount of cat whatever is going to stop what you have to. Because sometimes it just feels like it's hitting the fan and you just got to keep going no matter what. And, you know, I have some questions for you, too. Like, do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? Are you ready to hear what the Spirit is saying? Are we taking out quality time with God? Are we getting fine-tuned with the Spirit? You know, are we caught up in that fast lane of life where we want fast money, we want to push the fast-forward button on our TV to bleep out all the commercials, and we use fast food as our source of our energy to keep going. You know, it's like that's the kind of life that we've been in. You know, I was looking up on the internet different one-liners for fast food restaurants, and White Castle Hamburgers is like, what you crave. You know, and of course, they want you craving hamburgers. And Wendy's, do what tastes right. You know, and it's like, they want you to come taste their hamburgers. Arby's, now that your taste buds have grown up, and they're trying to tell you that we've gotten mature enough so that we know what a good burger really is. And then McDonald's is, what you want is what you get, and that's an actual true fact there. You know, it's like, we just got to pass that one by, you know. Because it says, you deserve a break today, but I can think of a better way to take a break than having a McDonald's hamburger. And, of course, Burger King is have it your way. And, you know, it also has the slogan, you're the boss. And, you know, sometimes we all think we are the boss, but, you know, the boss wants us to think that he's the boss. And there was one that was interesting. It's from South Africa and Australia. It's called the Spur Steak Ranches. I don't know if Vaughn's ever tried one of these places. I have to find out. But their slogan is Spur, a taste for life. And you know what? We don't even have to get a taste for life with Jesus Christ. We can get the full enchilada, you know, the whole thing with God. He's there to give us the whole thing, and we will not hunger, and we will not let go. And, you know, we just need to move on. And today, we're not talking about fast food, even though that card says fast food. We're talking about how to fast food, how to lay down that hunger for food or things of the world and to hunger mightily after God. Now, you know what? It's not my favorite subject. Not at all. And I'm not very good at fasting. I was a few years ago, and then, you know, I went through some health problems with diabetes and insulin, and I was using excuses. I was using excuses, well, I can't do this, I'm on meds, or I'm too busy, I need to eat on a regular schedule. And we are so good at making up excuses why we can't fast for God. And as I was talking to people, we were here last night and Rich did this talk, and this morning I was talking to some people before, and everybody I've been talking to said, well, I used to do it years ago, you know, and it's like, I used to do it years ago too. And what's been happening in the last few years that people have stopped fasting, or some of the new people that have come in haven't heard about it, haven't tried it, and really don't think it's necessary for today. You know, so I'm really into prayer in this church, have been since I started coming, and when I first started coming, there was just a small prayer group, and for a while there, it was just me and Patty Peck, the two of us, and I kind of felt, you know what, if we don't pray, who is praying? And not that I want to pin a badge of look at me, because if I do that, guess what, pride comes before a fall, and I've already had one of those in November, for those of you that know me. I had a fall out of the blue. Walking at my mother-in-law's down in New Jersey on a sidewalk, and it was dark in a senior citizen area where everybody goes to bed at 4 o'clock, and so nobody was out except I was getting pizza at 7 o'clock. And I just fell over flat. And I had knee surgery in the fall, so I'm thinking, oh, my knee, I don't want to wreck my knee. And so I kind of threw my upper body down and fractured my hand and wrist in two places and fractured a couple of ribs. And I was asking God, you know, why did that happen, you know, and I really didn't hear an answer, and I just kind of felt it was just something trying to trip me up and keep me from going, but you know what, we got to keep going no matter what happens, and I've gone to the doctor for an ear, nose, and throat test, because they wondered if it was something with an inner ear for just flopping over, and I actually had the test last week, and most of the people haven't even told the results. And it was the fact I do have inner ear damage in my right ear. And when she told me, it made a lot of sense, because when I walk lots of times, I walk sideways. And when I go up escalators, hey, Elaine, when we go on a trip next time, I have a real reason now. I feel like I'm tipping back on the escalator. Or my car feels like it's tipping over. And so I found out that the way the lady described it to me is I'm a three-legged stool walking on two legs. And so it's not that I'm a ditzy blonde. It's just like my stool only has two legs right now. So when I walked out of that place, I thought, you know what, God, guess what? You can give me that other leg. And I'm not going to let it stop me from standing up in the pulpit and talking. If I start to go this way, you know what? So what? I'm going to keep going. And you know what? If I go this way, it might be the Holy Spirit moving and the power and the presence, and we just got to get ready. And if I go down, guess what? He's here, you know? And we just got to get to that place where we're trusting God in everything we're going through. I got a doctor's report, but whose report do I believe? I believe the report of the Lord, and I believe that God wants to do things in this church for this year coming up. I believe that more cancers are going to be healed. We have a victory over there with my friend. Amen? Yay! And I believe that is just the beginning. We give God the glory and the honor for that. You know, He just is using us as vessels to pray. And I started to share the fact that I come here and pray, and sometimes it's two, it's three, it's four. Sometimes we have, wow, a crowd of five, you know, and it's like, but we're not going to give up. We're going to keep praying in the Spirit and trusting God to move in this place and see changes in this place and trust Him. And a funny thing happened a few months ago, too. We went to go to the usual room that we go to, and someone was in there, so we couldn't go. And then we went to the other room we go to, and someone was in there. And we were getting a little frustrated, and we were kind of walking around. There was three of us looking for a place to pray. And we finally ended up in the hallway out between the Ed Wing. And later on, another member came late, and she walked in, and she goes, "I didn't know where you guys were." And she goes, "I don't want to say anything bad." And I go, what? And she goes, "Well, one of the 20-somethings out there said the old people couldn't find a place to pray." And I said, "Old people? Who is she talking about?" And you know what? For a minute, I got offended. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not going to get offended that someone in their 20s thinks I'm old, because to them, I'm old. You know? And it's like, but it made me mad enough that I think we had one of the best prayer meetings that we had, because we got in the Spirit so fast, the three of us, and then the fourth person in, that it was like powerful. And they were around the corner in the other room, and we were like, "Oh, God." And they're looking out the window through us, and I said, "God, just give it to them too." You know, and it's like, we got to get to that point where we get stirred up. And I took an, quote, insult to get me stirred up. But I don't want to insult you today to get stirred up for praying and fasting, because I don't think I can motivate you. I can stand up here and say, "Oh, please come to my prayer group on Thursday nights. We really want you. And please start fasting with us. We need you." But you know what? Unless God moves on your heart, God starts speaking to you, and you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, it's not going to happen. And we have to trust Him in that. Several months ago, I heard the Lord say that we should have a corporate fast in this place. I was reminded it was probably 4 or 5 years ago that we had, when we were still in the other building, smaller congregation, and Vaughn called a 21-day fast in January. And we could fast any way that we felt the Lord telling us to fast. And we were meeting at the Walker's basement for several nights a week for prayer and praising God. And I'll tell you, it was one of the best times that I ever had. It like brought us closer together. It brought us in the power of the Lord. And we started to pray for new vision for the church. We started to pray for new growth for the church, and for us to be used in the community, and for the fire of God to fall in this place. And look what happened. In a matter of time, we outgrew that building. And God brought in so many new people that we had to get a new building. And that was a good thing. Our prayers were answered. And God brought in a lot of 20-somethings into the church, which is needed. It's so exciting to see people in their 20s and early 30s on fire for God. You know, after years of praying that, even my own sons who are in their 20s are still saying, you know, like, "Speak through the hand." But I'm saying that's okay, because God has written me on the palm of His hand. And when they look at my hand, you know, it's like, God is there. And I know they're coming in, because my prayers do not go forth void. My boys will someday worship God powerfully, and I'm trusting God for that. And we have to come together, because I think we all have family, loved ones that we're praying for to come into knowing God. We're all praying for someone with a health issue or for finances. We all have a need for a breakthrough in our lives. But things happened in this church. And that was, I think, due to a prayer and a fasting that we had about 4 years ago. We are a cutting-edge church. We are on the edge right now. We have awesome praise and worship on Saturday nights to draw the young people. And I see, when I come here on Saturdays, young people from all different, you know, different churches, that they go to their traditions during the day and they come on Saturday night. Or they don't come at all and they come on Saturdays. I come because I like the energy and the presence of God in a whole different manner. I like to come to both, because it's just experiencing God in different ways. And look what's happened here. Look at the outreaches that have developed. Our connection with Overland Missions is phenomenal. Look what it's done for our young people already. And our connection with Love 146 right now, which is opening our eyes to the things of the world that needs prayer and need assistance. We have our own ministries that have started, like Fan Squared and Crash 31. And things have been happening in this church. And God has taken us on such a journey. We've gotten our kids excited. I love watching the girls up here just dancing for the Lord, and the boys dancing for the Lord. It's an exciting thing. But what I'm feeling right now is that God wants to continue us on this journey that we've gotten so far. Right now, we're at the part where I believe that the Vineyard in this area, we're one of the few voices that are going to come out from this area in the Hudson Valley, and God is getting us ready, that we're a significant part of this. I've known Vaughn for over 20 years, and in fact, he and Rich got ordained once together down in a church in Hyde Park, and I've heard over the years prophecies over Vaughn that he's going to be a catalyst starting a revival in the Hudson Valley, and I see it coming eventually down the road. But you know what? He can't do it alone. He is a powerful voice, but if he doesn't have our prayer support and people fasting and praying for him, you know what? He's going to be teetering, and it's going to be hard for him to do it. He needs us back behind him 100% for what he's called to do, and we're called to do it right along with him. There are people in this room who are a voice for our community, a voice in politics that are coming forth, a voice that are coming forth for many to move in this place and get ready, because I believe I'm looking at faces of voices that are going to speak the gospel. I know it in my heart. You know, in this place here, we've set up the house now. We've got it. We're getting our building. It's almost ready. I mean, we can always do more additions on it, but we've gotten it organized. We're functioning, and we're productive here. We're productive with the things that we've been doing. And we have been an Isaiah 61 church. In Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Well, we've done that. We've been reaching out to people in the streets and people who don't have what we have, to proclaim freedom to the captives. We have a huge prison ministry, and not only with people in prison, you know, behind the walls, but people on the street who are in prison also. And release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We have an awesome praise group. We've been getting things set up and getting to go. We've been an Isaiah 61 church. But God has been showing me that he wants to take us further. He wants us to become a Matthew 3 church. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Matthew 3, it said, "In the day of John the Baptist, he came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' This is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Produce fruit, keep in keeping with a repentance.'" God is calling us to get ready to prepare the way of the Lord. And he's saying the way we do that is to repent. And not that we all have these great, horrendous sins that we need to repent from, but sometimes we need to repent from overeating, from too much TV, from not reading the Word so much. And that repenting is just changing and going the opposite direction. And he says, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." I don't want to be one of those who are not producing good fruit and be cut off with an axe. We got to get to that point where we're moving with God. He says, "I will baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I will not be fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And that's what I believe God is doing in this church. He's about to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire like we've never seen before. I know many of us have been walking in the power of the Spirit for many years, but God wants to take it up a notch. He wants to turn the flame a little hotter. He wants to stir up the waters more, because if we just stay with the building plan and the projects and the things that we're doing, we'll get stagnant in the power of the Holy Spirit. And stagnant water just brings death, but we want to see life come within all of our lives. We want to see life move. We want to see the rivers of living water overflow in this place. That's how we're going to reach the community, because of the rivers of living water, people are going to come and drink. They want to come and drink of what we have, and they want to know the fire. People need to be healed. There are people out there that are not Christians who have cancer, who have sicknesses, who need healing, and they don't know where else to turn. Are we ready in the Spirit to pray for these people and see healing and to move in faith and trust God that it will happen according to the Word of God? according to the will of God. He's getting us ready, people. And one of the things that we have to do to get ready is to pray and fast together. I had mentioned to Vaughn several months ago, I think we need a corporate fast. And he kind of, you know how sometimes he'll, you know, you say something and there's no response. So I thought, okay, well, I put it in, we'll see what happens. And we had a planning meeting about a month or so ago that I went to, and he wasn't there yet, and I was kind of mentioning to the people there, I think we need to have a corporate fast. And people were kind of looking at me, well, oh, you know, they were kind of humoring the old lady. And it was like, Vaughn walks in and he goes, I want to have a corporate fast in January. And I'm like, yes. You know, it came from the head honcho here at the church, and people are going to respond. And not that I'm saying you're not hearing me, but it was like I felt it was a confirmation of God that we're to move in this direction. And so at the planning meeting, we have planned that we are going to start a fast on next Sunday, July. Oh no, I did the same thing as Amber. Where's Amber? I was calling it July. I think we all want to be in July. January 11th to, we're going to break fast on Super Bowl Sunday. Is that okay, guys? Now, I'm going to talk about fast because everybody's sitting there thinking, 21 days of no food? You know, that's a Wizard of Oz thing. 21 days without food, oh my. You know, and it's like, no, we're not talking about that. It's talking about 21 days of getting closer to God and seeing what God has for our church and being of one body, coming together and seeing what God is going to do with us, because we have an appointment, a divine appointment with God the Father to move out in this community and to even go forth into the state and into the nations. And I believe God is going to start revealing some stuff to our people on the things that we're going to be doing for Him. And sometimes people think, oh no, more things to do, more work. But you know what? When it's God that's in it, guess what? It's not a lot of work. It's going forth. When you go forth with an anointing, all you can do is just like go with the flow, and it's awesome. You know, I was kind of dreading doing this talk because I thought fasting is so boring. Who wants to fast? They're going to think, fast, da-da-da-da-da, I want to hear what she says. You know, and it's like, and I didn't want to hear it. I don't want to fast, you know. But guess what? God's been telling me, and so I know it's a thing that we need to do. So anyways, for 21 days, starting next Sunday, Vaughn is going to be preaching on this too. And I don't know the plan that he has yet, to be honest with you. I'm not sure, but I just know we picked the date and we thought it worked perfectly so that Super Bowl Sunday, everybody can go back and have their chips and dip. You know, and it's like, I don't know quite how he wants to do it, so I'm waiting to hear what he wants to do. But this is at the point where he wanted Rich and myself to explain about it, to get us ready, to get a mindset for it. At the planning meeting, we decided not to have any big food issues like after church on Sundays. You know, so we'll still have bagels and things for our guests, you know, and if you're still eating a bagel, then that's fine. If God has said don't fast bagels, go for it. You know, go for your life, as Vaughn would say. And like, it's okay. But anyways, today is our last big food thing until the Super Bowl Sunday, and it's the chili cook-off. So we're going to get gassed up and ready to go, guys. Okay? You know, and I thought that was so appropriate. We're going to just go out with a bang with the chili cook-off today. It'll be a lot of fun. Don't get me laughing, Elaine. I won't stop. But anyways, I want to give you some quick facts on fasting after I take a little drink of water. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, God, why did you call me to do some of these things? And I love serving God. And when He gives me a word, I love sharing the word with people. And sometimes I've wondered, but Lord, I've struggled with diabetes. I fell and broke my ribs. And now I've got, you know, only two legs, you know, on my stool. And you know, He reminded me of Paul. And in Galatians 4:13, it says, as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Paul had an illness, and that's even before the scripture of the thorn in the flesh. So the footnote I was reading said that they weren't sure what he had. He could have had malaria. They talked about his eyesight. He could have had a physical disability because he'd been stoned. But he started preaching despite the fact that he had an illness. And God is saying today that we can do things for him, despite the fact that we have an illness, we have a disability, we're working with half a deck or whatever we're going. God is saying that we can do all things. You know, he used the donkey, and we're 100 steps higher than the donkey, you know, and it's like God can use every single one of us for a call. I was reading a book to get ready for this message, and it's by Katherine Brown, and it was called Confessions of a Fasting Housewife. And I kept, as I was thinking, I was reminding me of an old movie or something, you know, Confessions, the Diary of a Mad Housewife or something. And she was called by God to go on a 40-day fast. And she said the first few days were horrendous, because when you're going on a fast at first, like, for one thing, the hunger pains are awful. You could get headaches. Some people get diarrhea. And she said it was just horrid in the beginning, that her family was teasing her about the amount of gas she had and different things. But she kept going, and she kept a diary of it. And it was really interesting. The more that she got into it, the more God was revealing to her through that. But she got to day 35, and she happened to be in a McDonald's with a friend. And she just absolutely lost it. And she heard God say, go ahead and eat. And she goes, that McDonald's, they never saw anybody eat so much in their lives. And then she felt really guilty, like, God, it was only 5 days that I had to go. And I went 35 days, and I didn't do the last five. And she went through like about a week of feeling like a failure. But God started pointing out to her, look what you did in 35 days. That's amazing. And Rich and I were listening to a tape of a pastor that we had when we lived in Virginia Beach, and he tried a 40-day fast, and he made it to day 39. And, you know, sometimes we wonder why we only make it so far, but God even spoke to him, it's okay on this day to stop. You know, and we have to just trust God. Fasting, the definition is abstinence from food or water, especially as a religious observance. John Wesley said, some have exalted religious fasting beyond all scripture and reason, and others have utterly disregarded it. And I kind of feel as the body of Christ that, I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying a lot of people, myself included, have utterly disregarded it for quite a while now. And I think that God is calling us, and the excuses we just have to give up. One kind of fast, I was going to share that there's a Hebrew word for fasting, and I can't pronounce it. But it actually means in Hebrew to cover the mouth. And so many times, you know, we need to cover our mouths for things. And the Isaiah 58 fast talks about how to fast malicious talk and pointing of the finger. And it actually talks about when you do that, you'll receive healing. And that's amazing. That's one way to fast, is just to fast the way you speak about it, people, the negative things. So many people are so negative about things. And you know, I used to be that way, and then I got to the point where, okay, my glass is now half full. And then one just day, I was reading Psalm 23, and I said, you know what, Lord, my cup overfloweth. And that's the point we have to get to, that our cup overfloweth. The types of fasts having to do with food, the first one is the normal fast, and that's no food, solid or liquid food, just having water. And one of the biggest examples is actually Jesus himself did that, you know, when he first, you know, was fasting in the desert, you know, his 40-day fast. And in Luke 4:2, it actually says he ate nothing, and Satan tempted him to eat. And the commentaries were saying that they don't believe that he fasted water, because they believe that Satan would have tried to, you know, tempt him with water if he'd not been having water also, plus the fact that Jesus wanted to do something as a human representation. And if you were fasting water also, it would have to be a supernatural thing that was happening. To go 40 days without food and water would be a supernatural thing of God. And God wanted Jesus to be representing us as human beings on this earth, so he allowed the 40-day fast from food. And of course, Jesus was tempted, but we know humanly, he was able to overcome the temptations and make it through the 40 days. He was preparing himself for the ministry that was about to come. And I believe as we choose the fast that God has called for us, God is preparing us for the things that are coming in this year. It's funny, I'm having trouble with the light, but the other light was in my face, so just excuse this. But the partial fast, which is often called the Daniel fast, comes from Daniel 10:3. And he said, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So for 3 weeks, he only had vegetables, basically. And I hear a lot of people talk about the Daniel fast being a vegetable, just eating vegetables. But I also was reading about that a bit. And what it is, Daniel ate no delicacies. He didn't eat the things that gave him pleasure in life. And so many times there's certain foods that just give us pleasure. Like I have to admit, vegetables don't give me pleasure, you know. And all of you that know me well know that that chocolate gives me great pleasure. And so I know when we did our 21-day fast about 4 or 5 years ago, I fasted chocolate, and then I decided to go further and do all desserts and sweets for the 21 days. And I have to tell you, God sustained me with not even wanting it for 21 days. It was really amazing. I even look back and thought, how did I do it except for, but God. Yeah. But God, I was able to do this. And you know, so I've been thinking along that line too, but even going a little deeper this time. So I've been praying about how God will want me to do this. But it's so amazing. For Christmas, I have gotten more chocolates than you could ever think possible. And my big goal is, how much can I eat before January 11th? But actually, I've been trying to give some away. I gave some to Tony and Elaine. Now they got to pass it on. But, you know, we have to get to the point where we're seeking God in this. And when we get rid of our pleasure foods and just eating the things that we need to sustain our bodies, we can really do it. Because I know many people do take medicines and things like that. But if you cut out the foods that really give you pleasure, you know, you have liver and onions instead of, you know, your filet mignon. But that's the type of thing I'm talking about. It's giving up the pleasure things that really, you know, call your name and that you can't wait to get. But something that will sustain your body and give your body strength. But at the same time, clear your mind. And I have to tell you, when I had the no sugar for 21 days, I had the clearest mind that I'd had in a long time. And I can tell you, one of the things with fasting is don't do it to lose weight. And I know that I need to lose like 40 pounds to get my health back on track. But I personally, in my mind, do have a goal of the not eating sweets for 21 days. They say you can break a habit in 21 days. And I need to break the sweet habit. I really do. And so I'm asking God personally to help me break that habit. And hopefully it will continue. And I'm trusting God to go that way. And you can have those things in your mind too. Then there's the absolute fast, which is nothing at all. It's no food, no water. It's nothing. And Esther did that. She's an example of that. In Esther 4:16, she had sent a report to Malachi to help deliver Israel from Haman. And she said, go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. She was willing to fast nothing for 3 days, asking them to, and then going to the king to go do something dangerous. And it was, if I perish, I perish. And there's been things in my life that I've been afraid to do. I don't like heights. A couple of my friends and I got a privilege of being invited to pray in the United Nations with some workers there. And on the way there, I heard the Lord say, you know it's going to be on one of the top floors of the building. And I do not like heights, I will admit that. And I just, basically, if I perish, I perish, Lord. You know, but it was like, okay, Lord, you've warned me it's going to be up high. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And I'm going to do it for you because you've called me to do this. And what's funny, we got in the elevator and the worker that we were going with pushed 24 on the button. And all my friends in the elevator turned and looked at me. And I said, I'm okay. God told me it was going to be up high. And you know, when we first got up there, I looked out the windows. I thought, no, I'm going to be practical and sit with my back to the window. But now and then I take a peek and enjoy the beautiful view of New York City. But, you know, when you get such a privilege to be invited to pray in the United Nations with people who work there, it was such an honor that you can't let fear overcome you for something that God has called you to do. And God is going to call some of you to go into the again, and some of you for the first time, to the depths of Africa. And you know, Pastor Vaughn is planning some trips in the future into places that are hot spots. And you know what? If I perish, I perish. We know where we're going. But we know who goes with us, and we know who protects us and keeps us safe, that we do not have to fear, and we can trust him in all things. Moses actually did an absolute fast for 40 days, but it was a supernatural thing. That's how he was able to do it. It was a God thing. God called him up on the mountain, and it's in Deuteronomy 9:9. He says, "When I went up on the mountain to receive the tablets of stone of the covenant that the Lord had made with, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water." We never think about that. Moses didn't eat or drink for the 40 days he was up there, but that was a supernatural thing. He was in God's presence, in God's glory. And you know what? He wasn't even thinking, I'm sure, about food and water at that time. He was receiving the word of the Lord directly. I mean, that had to be an awesome experience. Another kind of fast is a proclaimed fast. It's usually corporate. You can do it for a national emergency. You know, Rich was saying this last night, wouldn't it be amazing if the President of the United States, if something happened, he would call a national prayer and fasting? I mean, I can't imagine it. But, you know, right now, we need to have a national fast just for our country. You know, and I'm not going to ask who voted for who. It doesn't matter at this point. We have a new president-elect, and guess what? As Christians, we are called to pray for that man. We're called to love him and to honor him, and we're called to pray. And you know, some decisions that you know, he's talked about making, I'll be blunt about this one. He's talking about rescinding the, I can't even think of it now, the abortion law, you know. And as Christians, that's a no-no. We can't go with that. Let's fast and pray. Let's see God change his mind, you know. And he proclaims to be a man of God. Let's have God speak to him and have him change his mind before he signs on the dotted line. God can do all things. And so we do need a national prayer. We need to protect our unborn babies. And you know what? We can come to do that. We can fast and pray for the girls in Love 146 that Nicole's working with right now. You know, that's a thing that's happening even in our own country about girls being sold into slavery. And we just need to be praying for our nation. Jonah called a fast in Nineveh. And then also there was a fast called in Joel 2:15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call with sacred assembly, call forth a sacred assembly. God is calling, I believe, because Vaughn heard it and has proclaimed it at a meeting, and he'll be talking about it Sunday. Our leader has proclaimed a fast, and it's up to you to pray on how to do it. You can proclaim fast in the church, for the work of the church. In Antioch, the church of Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, they were called and they were commissioned. It says in Acts 13:2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. They were fasting and worshiping God, and then the Holy Spirit spoke. And that's just a way to clear the ear gate so that we can hear what God is saying. In Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas preached, and they won a huge number of disciples. And for each church that they set them up into, they appointed elders, it said, with prayer and fasting and committing them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. They were making decisions in the church by prayer and fasting. There can be personal fasts, praying as a form of worship. Sometimes you just want to get closer to God, and you just want to know for your own life, Lord, you know, how are you using me? And take a day, take 3 days, and just seek God and ask him to start speaking to you. And this one, Catherine Brown, the one who wrote The Confessions of a Fasting Housewife, she had a Kleenex fast. And it's not that you fast Kleenex. Actually, in this fast, you need the Kleenex, because she said that her family was calling it a Kleenex fast because the first several days, all she did was cry. But sometimes we just need to cry, and we need to let things out. These, she found, were tears of compassion. And then it was like a release of exhaustion and stress and letting off steam. And she just said the tissue boxes, she was going through them so much because she just was being compelled by God. And God was showing her things and giving her compassion for people and then showing her things about herself, so she was letting them down. And so, you know, be prepared with your box of tissues by you, because, you know, sometimes we just need a cleansing. We need to just come forth from God. And we need to get to a point where we can surrender our emotions. You know, God gave us emotions. He gave us that emotion to love, because he says to love him and to love others as we love ourselves. And he's given us righteous anger for things that are not of God, you know, that I hate the sin but love the sinner. And you know what? We've got to get to that point where, you know, even though hating the sin, we've got to embrace with love the sinner, embrace them so much. How else will they know about the Lord and be saved? We can't turn away people. We've got to love them where they're at, and God will do the work. So we can't let down the emotions, but at the same time, we need to get them under God's control so that we can be led by the Spirit and not by our emotions. In Matthew 6, 16 to 18, it says, when you fast, it says, when you fast. Fasting is not a commandment. God isn't saying you have to fast, but he's saying when you do it. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. You know, that's pride. Sometimes it's like, well, I'm on a fast, look at me. The guy that we were listening to on tape that tried the 40-day fast, he said the first couple weeks, the fact that, you know, when you have pride within you, he goes, I kept walking around, I was so proud that I'm doing this fast. And then all of a sudden God pointed to him, look, it's pride that you need to be set free from. And these people were walking around with pride. But then he says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head. And I looked at that in a new way. By putting oil on your head is putting the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. Fasting under the Holy Spirit, just even anointing yourself or just letting that oil of the Holy Spirit come forth. When you're in his presence, you know, there's fullness of joy. There's that oil of gladness. And it said, wash your face. And he was kind of speaking to me that with wash your face, you know, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And, you know, in Revelation it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so to be overcomers, we need that blood. We need to be washed in the blood and then share our testimony. And, you know, when we share our testimony, we not only become overcomers, but we pass it on to somebody else, and then they overcome, and they pass their testimony on, and the next person overcomes, and you get a chain reaction of overcoming in Christ Jesus. It says, and wash your face so that you will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. He has good gifts for us. Our Father has great gifts for us. He's going to just pour blessing upon us. Fasting's not a commandment, but it's an opportunity to move deeper with God. And you know, in fasting, the motive is the most important thing. Fasting is not to move God, but to move you. God is always there. God cannot be moved. It says it in the Word. He can't be moved. And so you know what? I often say people that don't even know God, God is right there all around them. It's just that they don't have the spiritual eyes to see him. God is right here with us. Those of us that have been born again, he resides in us. He's here with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And sometimes, though, if we do something, we are the ones that are moving away from God. He's not moving away. And God cannot be moved. So God is at the point where, for fasting, we're not getting God to move. He's already in the right place. We're getting ourselves to move and to move closer to him. We're submitting our bodies and our souls to him. Our souls are our mind, will, and emotions. And our physical bodies, we're submitting that to the Spirit, and that's where we need to be, walking with God. We are fasting to seek God, to ask him things. And the primary purpose for a fast is to draw nigh unto God. When you draw nigh unto God, he draws nigh unto you. In Zechariah 7:5, the Lord asked Zechariah to ask the people, because there had been a fast. And he said, Zechariah, ask them, did they fast unto me? You know, we have to have that motive of fasting unto God, of knowing that God is the one we're going to hear from. We need to hunger for God more than we do for food, and that's not easy. I know. You know, Vaughn has stood up here and said that he struggles with gluttony. I know that I've struggled with overeating. See, I don't even want to say that I'm a glutton. You know, he confessed he was braver than me. I was an overeater, you know, and I still am. When I'm down, guess what? The chocolate bars or the bag of chips. You know, when I need comfort or if I'm alone, you know, ooh, a pizza. You know, and it's like we get to the point where food is more important to God. When we're struggling with things, we need to be opening the word or putting praise music on in the house or just trusting God, leaning into him, to hunger for God more than food. John Wesley said, "Let fasting be done unto the Lord with our eyes singly fixed on him. Let the intention be this and this alone, to glorify God in heaven for God's glory." Fasting will reveal what controls us. Like I talked about with pride with that man, it will reveal if you're struggling with fear or with lust issues or things in our life. When we fast, all of a sudden things become really crystal clear to us. Fasting will show you whether you're walking in liberty or in bondages. So many times, you know, when I go into the prison ministry, it's like, I know a lot of the guys have come to know God and I can see the true conversions, but then others, I see them doing all the motions, but you can see them still walking in the bondages. And you know, I just want to shake them a little bit, like, let go of those bondages. And, you know, sometimes when we fast, we finally can see something that other people have been seeing about us that we haven't wanted to face. And you know, we're all at that point where we need to get there. And it also increases our effectiveness in intercessory prayer. It increases our concentration and our alertness. Like I said, when I find when I finally do away with that sugar, my brain is really clear. And sometimes I struggle so much with that foggy brain. And, you know, we have to get to the point, I really want to see change in my life this year. And if anything, I can motivate somebody else to want to move forth in this change. And it also helps us to move forth and letting go strongholds in our lives. Because sometimes the biggest stronghold is right in our mind. You know, the thought patterns, to change our thought patterns. And just to, you know, when some thought goes in the place it shouldn't, immediately, Lord, I don't want to be there, and go someplace with God. Go with the scripture. And when should you fast? We fast out of necessity, when it's needed, when we need to receive wisdom, when there's something going on that there just needs to be a dramatic change. We fast as a discipline to keep ourselves sharp, and we fast by obedience. Obedience to our leaders, and like I said, Vaughn is calling for a fast in January, and he's our leader, and I trust him for hearing from God. He's human, and you know, he doesn't, you know, hear 100%, but you know what? I know how much he knows the word, and I trust the fact that he hears God pretty well. You know, and the fact that my leader's calling for a fast, I'm definitely going to consider what my leader is suggesting as a body of Christ here. But most of all, it's obedience to God, hearing what God has to say in our lives. How long are we going to fast? Well, God has called our church right now for a 21-day fast. If you're doing your individual fasting, ask God, 1 day of no food, or 1 day of one meal, 3 days of skipping lunch every day, you know, or when you have time in a lunch break, I can read the word instead of eating lunch. Pray and ask God what's the best way for you. I know that a lot of people have told me too that, you know, after the first 2 or 3 days, your body will get in a mode where, you know, you're getting over the headaches and the things that you're struggling with, that you can really start to hear God. And it is a breakthrough in our lives. Fasting is turning away from everything that distracts and coming into a full embrace in the Father's arms. In a nutshell, fasting causes change in our lives. And it is a lot of physical inconvenience. But if we can take a little time out of our time, I had a dear friend that always said to me, "Diane, this too shall pass," whenever I was struggling with something. And you know, it's so true when we're struggling with something. If we can look to the fact that maybe in a week from now or a month or even a year that we'll be past this and we can go on, it keeps us going. We have hope because of Jesus Christ. God meets us and he lifts us up in revelation and relationship. In fasting, it's going to strengthen our relationship to God, with each other, with the things that God has called us to do, and it's going to bring revelation. Just the last 5 minutes, I want to share something different. And it's like, as far as the fasting, you know, Vaughn will explain next weekend what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. Get ready this week in preparation, asking God what your part is in this body of Christ, and seeking God and asking him for vision. Like I said last time, look how God changed this church, and I believe he's going to change it even more for the better. God is moving in this place. But when I was preparing for this message, I heard God say that we're going to change from revolution to revelation. And a couple of years ago, I had read a book, and I think I even talked about it here, about being in a revolution. A revolution is a sudden, momentous change in a situation. And I believe that we've been in revolution because we've seen change. We've seen, like I said before, we've seen Overland Missions come into our midst. We've seen Love 146 and Fan Squared, and we've seen wonderful events come forth in the church. And people have been coming in, and we've seen, I love seeing the revelation of the revolution of the young people coming in. I believe God had a revolution of just touching the 20-somethings and bringing them in and bringing forth a fresh anointing of things that, you know, that they can teach us at the same time that the older can mentor them in the ways of the Spirit. And I believe that we've been in revolution. We've been changing. We've been moving, like, really fast. When I think of revolution, I think of, like, the, you know, the planets going around the sun and spinning. And we've been changing and spinning, and it's been a good thing. It's been awesome moving with God. But he was telling me, oh, actually, even revolution ignites fires. And we've seen the fire of God starting to increase and the change that's been coming in the outreach to the community. But I believe what God was telling me is that revelation is coming. We're going from revolution to revelation. And because God is fine-tuning us in our walk with him, that, you know, when you're changing a radio and trying to get the right frequency, it's like God is at the point of fine-tuning us for revelation, that we are going to start hearing the revelations of God, that he's going to be speaking to us as a people corporately. I believe that I've really been feeling for months now that as we're doing this fast and Vaughn comes back, I believe he's going to be hearing such powerful messages for us that it's going to blow our socks off. I've been feeling that for months now, and that God is getting him ready to speak some really awesome divine revelations to us, that we need to get ready to receive this revelation knowledge and just to get ready to prepare and do it through praise. And the scripture I want to end with is in the book of Revelation. I had studied Revelation years ago and then kind of felt like for years leaving it alone. And for the last maybe 6 months or so, God's really had me in it looking at different things and telling me to turn to things. And we were in a prayer meeting here probably a month or so ago, and he told me to turn to read about the church in Philadelphia, which is in chapter 3. And he was telling me that we are like the church of Philadelphia. And the church of Philadelphia was one that God actually was a faithful church, and that they kept God's word and they didn't deny God. And God was pleased with the church of Philadelphia. And it said, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David." See, I believe that we're holding the key and we're about to turn it into the revelation mode. He says, "What he opens, no one can shut. And when he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed you before an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live in the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never will I leave it." Just that part right there. God was showing me one night that when we were reading this, because we've been a church who have followed God and one that he's been pleased with, that we've not denied God, that he's about to make us a pillar in the Hudson Valley, that he has called us as we go forth in this fast and we take a step higher in the spirit with God. He's getting us ready to be pillars. He's placed us strategically with Vaughn in this place to become pillars. And I keep losing my notes down here. That the crown, actually, where it talks about the crown, it says, so no one will take your crown. The crown actually is a badge of loyalty. And I know that probably a couple years ago, Vaughn preached a message on loyalty. And God is so in love with us. And he just wants us to be loyal to the call, loyal to the word, and loyal to the things that he's called us to. And here it says that I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city, my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from God. I will also write on him my new name. This new name, I write in my Bible a lot. When Vaughn preaches things, I can always tell what he said here. And one time he read on this scripture and he said, that new name that's written is one of character and authority. And he's written the name of character because we are a church of compassion and character. But he's also come to the point where he's giving us spiritual authority as pillars in the community. And he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And the Lord said to me in Revelation that we are going to become the pillars in the community, and not just our church. God is doing fires throughout the Hudson Valley that we're going to see this rise up because we have been praying for God's Spirit to move over this place for so many years and to see people come to God and to just know him in a fuller way. And that in this, it's funny because I have so many things underlined that Vaughn has taught on and other people have. And that Thursday night when we were here, I looked down at my Bible and I had actually had a dream the night before of hearing the Lord say, I'm coming soon. And then when I looked at it, I looked down and I thought, gee, the only verse I don't have underlined is I'm coming soon. And I felt the Lord say, underline it now, because I'm coming soon. And that's not to scare people to think, oh no, you know. And, you know, God is with us through all trials and tribulations. He is with us through thick and thin. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He helps us. And I think that this can be a time, a year of the favor of the Lord, to move forth where we see, like I said earlier, times of healing, times of restoration, healing in relationships, healings in our physical bodies and finances. And there'll be tough times, but through it with our God and through it together, we will be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that God is strengthening us. He's making us pillars, and he's written our names down because he's given us that character and that authority, and that our crown will not be stolen, and that we just need to stand firm and to trust God and to know that God is about to do amazing things among us. One of my favorite verses in Joshua, I think it's 3-something, it's like he tells Joshua, consecrate yourselves for amazing things are about to happen. And I believe that's a word of the Lord coming forth, that God is about to do amazing things, that he's taken a foundation that we've made through the revolution over the last few years, that we've gotten ready, our buildings ready, our ministries are ready, we've gotten our missions ready, we are ready to move on. And God is saying to the people now, are you ready to fast and pray to see what God is about to do among us? It's going to be amazing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In the back when you leave, Rich had made some notes on fasting. It has scriptures. So if you want to study on your own, you can get one from one of the host team on the way out. If everybody would just like to stand for a minute, and we'll just have a closing prayer. Is Stu waving at me for a reason?
I'll share a scripture.
Sure. Amen.
I thought that helped.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the word that you've brought today. I thank you, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, we go forth knowing that we walk with you, that we go forth in your anointing, in your healing power, that we can trust you, Lord, to take us to a deeper place with you. Lord, I would ask that you would just touch your people this day with an anointing upon them, that if they're struggling with that joy, that you would just restore joy back in the name of Jesus, that you would restore healing, that you would just be a God of restoration, that this would be a great year for us individually and for our church, Lord, that we are expecting to hear what you're going to do, that as we're getting ready to birth something, being pregnant and about to birth is not easy, Lord, but as this birth comes forth, we're going to have that new revelation in this place, revelation knowledge coming forth in the name of Jesus, that our pastor is going to bring forth revelation knowledge from the throne room of grace. We thank you, Lord, that there would be a new excitement, a new anticipation for this year, that people will be excited to fast in Jesus' name, that we'll be a people who want to run into your throne room, a people who want to pray, a people who want to fall at your feet, and a people who desire to be in your will. So I just pray blessings upon each person this day, that they go forth knowing that you are God, that you are God, that you are God, that greater is you who is in us than he who is in the world, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, that the word of God is our sword to divide between good and evil, and that we raise our sword this day trusting God to know that we are about to move in this place and hear from the heavenlies. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon each person. Just draw it out this day, your anointing upon them in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.